Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our risen, reigning Savior, Jesus. Amen. I was probably 5 or 6 when I remember stealing something and recognizing for the first time that I was stealing. Now, I know that I definitely stole a lot of things when I was younger, but let's face it, thievery is second nature to toddlers. So, kids grow up, and it takes a while for them to learn you don't take things from your siblings' hands and your playmates. But as we grow, we learn. Our parents teach us, right, to share, and we don't take things from people. We learn the rights and wrongs of our actions, and I was probably 5 or 6, and I was visiting my grandparents' house over the summer, and somehow, while I was at my grandparents' house, I ended up at their neighbor's house, and I don't know how or why I was there, but I was at their neighbor's house, and their neighbor was showing me this collection of baseball cards they had, and I look back on the story, and it doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't care about baseball cards. I've never cared about baseball cards. There's not a single baseball card in my house right now. I don't care. But for whatever reason, on that day, as I saw this shiny, holographic baseball card, I had to have it. And so I took it. I put it in my pocket. And I walked back to Grandma's house. It wasn't until I was about halfway there, my brain actually kicked in and I started thinking. And I thought to myself, oh wait, Mom and Dad are going to see it. How am I going to explain that? And I don't know if you've thought about this, and I start thinking through all the ways I can maybe explain away how I ended up with this baseball card. Do you think they'll believe I picked it up off the ground? I don't know. I think we all have stories like this. Whether when we're young, as we're adults, and let me tell you, I can tell you some other stories about when I was a little bit older in high school and stuff like that. It's after. We'll talk about after church about that. But we all have stories about in our lives where we are tempted to take things that don't belong to us. You know, and we are, but this is what we know. We've been raised, and we know that taking things from others is wrong. We know that it's immoral to steal from people. But of course, it's never that easy, right? God tells us in his 7th commandment, you shall not steal. But it's never quite so simple. You know, sure, we have the black and white examples, right? We have the bank robbers, right? We have shoplifters, and we have people who are very clearly breaking this commandment by stealing things, but that's not me, right? That's not me. And I think most of us would recognize that's probably not part of God's plan for me to love my neighbor. That's not God's plan for us to love our neighbor. But beyond some of these black and white examples, it starts to get a little hazy. What does this look like? What does it look like for us to do this well? Now, I think that we find ourselves in scenarios so often where it's easy for us to sidestep this commandment. Because, how do I put this? Sometimes people just deserve it. You know what I mean? Right? Sometimes people just deserve to have things taken from them. Right? Do you understand that sentiment? Do you identify with that sentiment? Sometimes they just deserve it. I mean, it's easy to steal from people when we know they're a despicable person. Yeah, right? It's easy to take things from someone who we know have personally done wrong to us, that treat us poorly, that put us on a lower level. It's easy to justify taking things from people when we know they're a bad person. And I think that's something that we can identify with. We kind of know what that's like. You know, whether you're getting back at someone, you're getting even. This is something that's so ingrained in who we are. It's ingrained in our culture. I was thinking about this, I realized there's even a whole subgenre of movies based on this exact idea. Does this look familiar? It's a good movie. I know it's not the original, but you gotta love Clooney, right? What about this one? Italian Job. That brings back memories for me. Just that scene with the Mini Coopers at the end. So awesome. Now, these movies are good movies. They're fun movies. They're great movies. I love these movies. But they speak to something that I think is so true in our culture, in our lives. They say something about how we believe about, what we believe about stealing. And namely, it's that stealing is okay as long as the person that you're stealing from is a deplorable human being. Or they've done something despicable to you to deserve it. But that brings me to something that my mom taught me growing up. And I'm sure your mom has said it as well. Two wrongs don't make a right. Did your mom say that growing up? That's like the most cliche mom thing to say. Two wrongs don't make a right. But it's true. Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, you shall not steal. Period. There are no qualifications here. There are no asterisks. The sins that go before a person don't disqualify them from this command. Yet I think that we so often find ourselves thinking about it in that way. But you shall not steal. Two wrongs don't make a right. Take Zacchaeus from our reading this morning in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, and yeah, sure, well, Zacchaeus makes it clear to Jesus that he's turned over a new leaf, and he's put all those ways behind him, he's changed the way he's lived, but Zacchaeus, like so many tax collectors in Jesus' day, used his position to steal from his neighbors. And I can imagine Zacchaeus using a very similar type of logic when he took the money. I can imagine him taking the taxes and saying to himself, well, you know, it's either going to go to Rome, the Roman Empire, or into my pocket. So what's the lesser of the two evils? But two wrongs don't make it right. Two wrongs are, well, two wrongs. And they kind of add on top of each other. And they add on top of each other, and they make Jesus and his point at the end so clear of why he has to come. Those two wrongs that we continue to add on top of each other make it so clear that Jesus has come to seek and save the lost, just as he does for our friend Zacchaeus. In the middle of all of this noise, it's so easy to drown this commandment out. Because let's face it, most of us aren't bank robbers on the side in our free time. I hope. You know, if so, we can talk after and there's a different conversation. But most of us aren't criminal masterminds looking to pull off the heist of the century. But the seventh commandment, it covers so much more ground. It's so much more... It's so much wider than the Bonnie and Clydes and the Danny Oceans of the world. Because, yeah, we may not steal in some of the obvious ways that we might think of, that might come to mind for us, but we do steal. We steal in probably more sneaky ways. We steal in ways that it's easy for us to justify taking things from our neighbor. The stealing that's far more common in our lives, in the world around us, and I would say is far more concealed too, are things like time theft. Things like employee theft. Skimping on our taxes. Perfect as we go right into tax season, right? They're little things, and they don't seem like a big deal. And they're often so easy to get away with, and people do. But I was looking at some of these things. I was kind of interested in how is that actually a big deal? You know, what's the impact of those type of things? And so I looked up some articles, and the statistics behind these things is staggering. So take employees, for example. I found this article talking about time theft, employee theft. And so through things like clocking in longer than you work, intentionally wasting time at work, or grabbing little things from work, office supplies, knickknacks here and there, it's estimated that U.S. businesses lose about $50 billion a year. $50 billion. I thought the B was wrong. $50 billion. Seems so innocent at first, but just like two wrongs stack on top of each other, all of that adds up. And it does make an incredible impact. So what about taxes? Surely old Uncle Sam doesn't miss those few extra dollars here and there, right? Well, I was doing some research on that as well. And I found this article that was talking about unpaid taxes to the IRS. And I learned that part of the challenge that the government faces in federal spending every year is they don't actually know how much money is going to come in. They don't know how much people are actually going to pay for their taxes. So even with good planning, it's hard to account for and make up for a $458 billion tax gap. $458 billion in 2016 that was expected to come in that didn't. And of that $458 billion, $387 billion of that is due to unreported or underreported income. That's a lot of money. Now, to be fair, a portion of that is due to the tax being ridiculously complex and crazy. And so the article did make a point to say that there's a lot of people that are not nefarious at all. They just did their taxes wrong, and that's true. But it doesn't change the fact that there are so many people in our country every year that are stealing money from our government. It doesn't change the fact that we as taxpayers are sometimes being a part of debilitating our government every year. We can hurt our employers every year by just taking that little off the top. Here's the thing. I think for many of us, it seems like it's this innocuous little thing, and it doesn't hurt. It couldn't hurt anyone. And sometimes that might be true. But you're always taking from someone. You're always going to be taking from someone. And just as those two wrongs add on top of each other, that stealing adds up. And stealing hurts people. It hurts people in ways that you might never see. Maybe as more and more people are stealing from your company is forced to make cuts. And someone loses their job. Stealing hurts people. And that's what this last section of the commandments is all about. How do we love and care for our neighbor? How do we not only not hurt them, but actually help them? The seventh commandment is about more than just not taking things that don't belong to us. It's taking an active role in helping our neighbor keep the things that they have. Helping our employers by being honest with the work that we're doing. Helping our government by helping them be good stewards of the money that we and they have been given. See, this commandment, it's kind of interesting because here we see a little shift in the relationship. Because up until this point, the Ten Commandments are dealing directly with our relationship with God and neighbor. But this commandment has a little shift, and it deals with our relationship with our neighbor as it relates to his possessions. It's about our neighbor's stuff. We love our neighbor, sure, but we also help our neighbor in this commandment keep his stuff. God cares about your stuff. God wants you to have stuff because God cares about you. God loves you. God wants the best life for you. And in this commandment, we see that part of that love comes in defending the things that you have. And so we help our neighbor by defending the things that they have, because everything we have is a gift from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father in heaven. God, in the very beginning, performed his first act of love in creation. He created this world. He created everything in it. He's given us life and all the things that we have, and he didn't have to. God didn't have to do any of those things, but he did because he loved us. And so everything that we have is continually part of this act of love of creation, this gift that he's given to us, and he continually is seeking to protect it. That's what the seventh commandment is all about. The seventh commandment is about God's desire for us to love our neighbor and to help protect and preserve the gifts that he has given to us. God wants us to love our neighbor and help protect and preserve the things he's given to us. And that character that we see in God, we see also from our reading this morning in John chapter 10, in Jesus. And Jesus tells us, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. How much does our God love that he would preserve and protect us in this way? First, by laying out this commandment to protect all that we have and provide for our daily needs, but even more so, to protect the greatest gift he has given to us. Life. Our life. God sent his son Jesus to preserve and protect our lives. The thief that comes to steal and destroy is none other than the deceiver himself. See, Satan comes to take. Satan always comes to take. And he instills in our hearts that same desire to take things from those around us. Satan came to steal this gift of life, and we were powerless to stop him. There's nothing we could do to protect our neighbor, let alone protect ourselves, and so God provided for us a protector. His son Jesus, the good shepherd. The shepherd who stands in between us and that fatal blow, who takes that fatal blow on our behalf. And in so doing, accomplishes the very thing he came to do, to offer us life so that we might have it abundantly. For Christ rose from the dead to new life. And we will too. For in Jesus, we have life. It has been won. It has been protected, and it has been given to us. In and by the name of Jesus, we have life. Amen.